This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells, from pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever. You need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the last hour of The Grace Curley Show on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon in September. We thank you all so much for joining us. We are going to focus a little bit here on some of the races, including the primaries that occurred in New Hampshire last night. We're going to talk about Caroline Leavitt and how she is making history. We're going to play a little bit from her excellent victory speech. Had her on the show on Monday, and I was pulling for her. I'm very impressed with her. I met her in person. She is very well-spoken, fierce, and she's a Gen Zer, which is crazy to me because I've always been, not to sound like Joe Biden here, but I always consider myself to be on the younger side of politics. And so then you realize, ooh, I'm getting old. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about inflation. We're going to talk about Lee Zeldin versus Kathy Hochul. I've got exciting news as far as that race goes. So a lot of good news to end this hour, to leave you on a good note. But something I noticed about Joe Biden is when he is not busy throwing parties with James Taylor and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and celebrating the current state of our economy, even though it's looking pretty dismal, he's telling us how extreme MAGA Republicans are. And he's bashing people like Ron DeSantis, Rick Scott. He's trolling people on Twitter. Yeah, that's right. The White House trolls people on Twitter, too. Doesn't matter that Trump's out there. They're still mean tweets, and they keep me up at night. But he's very focused on creating this foil. The Democrats are the party that's trying to restore the soul of the nation with the help of the musical stylings of James Taylor, and Republicans are trying to burn it to the ground. No joke. And I don't buy that. I don't buy that for one second, because the rhetoric on the left is just as, actually, it's far more vicious than the rhetoric on the right. The actions on the left. Let's take the reporter in Arizona who was killed. I'm sorry, not Arizona.
Nevada.
Yeah. The reporter in Nevada, I should know that we have new Nevada listeners too, who was murdered allegedly by an unhinged Democrat official. And that didn't even get a blip on the radar. You had Steve Scalise, who got shot by a Bernie bro at a congressional baseball game. You had Rand Paul get attacked from a far left progressive neighbor, had his lungs collapsed. You don't hear anything about that. But over and over and over again, I'm told that MAGA is extreme, that MAGA is part of a cult, that MAGA is violent, that MAGA is dangerous. But it doesn't match up with what I see in real life. Just like Joe Biden celebrating inflation doesn't match up with the inflation I'm seeing right now. So if you want to talk about that, if you want to talk about Caroline Leavitt, this hour is open for a lot of different issues. Eddie, you are first up on The Grace Curley Show in the 2 o'clock hour. Go ahead, Eddie.
Oh, thanks so much. Grace, talk about extreme rhetoric. I just saw Tim Ryan on TV. Guy's running for Senate, in Ohio.
Yes.
His quote was, we must kill and confront the extreme Republicans, okay? So they either want to kill the members who don't agree with them, people who don't agree with them, we can kill them. Or how about just rounding them up and putting them in re-education concentration camps? I mean, these people are going wacko with this extreme rhetoric.
Yeah.
Kill and confront.
And Eddie, as far as they're concerned, you are the person who is deranged. You are the person who is dangerous. You are the person who is undermining democracy. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, well, Grace, clearly Eddie got that off of some right-wing fringe conspiracy QAnon blog. That's not true. Tim Ryan didn't say that. Tim Ryan's a moderate Democrat. Au contraire, mon frère. Let's take a listen to Tim Ryan.
the Democrats aren't right on everything. And I'm willing to sit down and have conversations about how we can move out of this age of stupidity and into an age of reconciliation and reform. How do we fix all of these broken systems? Some of those answers will come from Republicans. It's not the extremists that we're dealing with every single day. We've got to kill and confront that movement.
Kill and confront that movement. Ooh, I don't want to say that Tim Ryan pulled the trigger as far as this dangerous stuff happening in America, but he certainly supplied the ammunition, as Kamala Harris once said about Donald J. Trump. Can I also get, since we're onto this, can I also get Chuck Schumer talking about this extremism? Cut four. This is yesterday at the big old party that you weren't invited to.
While MAGA Republicans are fixated on their extremist agenda, like a national abortion ban, Democrats are focused on creating jobs, lowering costs, and bringing the country together.
That extreme MAGA Republican Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, the extreme pro-lifers in the Republican Party. How dare they? Do you know what this is about on Fox? It says Stelter Shocker. I wonder if it's about his Harvard job. I hope there's not breaking news on. Just try to figure that out, Jared. I wonder what's going on here.
They're just recapping Professor Stelter.
Dr.
Yeah. Stelter, a little really.
Late. I don't want to critique Fox here, but we had that scoop a long time ago. Yeah, Harvard's really rolling in the red carpet here. They've got this year. If you're going to Harvard this year, wow, you are going to be educated by the best and the brightest, by the Ivy League geniuses among us, by brilliant minds like Bill de Blasio and Brian Stelter. What more could you possibly ask for?
And students in de Blasio-nomics 101, just beware, there is a Shake Shack right around the corner from Camelot High. So, well, a lot of fry eating,
you know what,
coming
I'm,
your way.
You know what I'm curious about when it comes to Harvard, Jared, is I wonder if they have, and everyone knows this rule. Actually, the older listeners might not know this rule, but when we were kids, when I was a teenager, if you got to class and the teacher was late, there was this rule. And it was almost like folklore. Like, no one knew if it really was a rule. But if the teacher was over 10 minutes late, kids used to say, well, if the teacher's over 10 minutes late, we can leave. And that was always a thing. And we would get so close. Like, at the 11 minute, one kid would say, I'm going. That's the rule. It's been 10 minutes. And then some of us would say, is that a rule, though? Who told you that? But we all knew it. We all thought about it.
That's not school policy, I don't believe.
I could never find it in the handbook, but what I will say is, if that's a rule at Harvard, guess what, kids? Guess what, students of Harvard? You're about to get real lucky, because I have a feeling Mayor Bill, I got to take a nap before work, de Blasio, might be rolling in late more days than not. And that's good news for any student, really.
Plus, he'll wear a Jason Tatum jersey over a button-down shirt, so he's cool. He's the cool professor.
He's going to be like that meme of what's his face with the skateboard behind his back? Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah.
I want to play one cut here before we move on to Caroline Leavitt. And this is from MSNBC, which is also where the Tim Ryan cut was from. On MSNBC, they're playing this. I don't think a lot of the networks actually played too much of the Biden-palooza, the inflation party. Mostly because they weren't invited. I'm sure they were miffed about that. You know, this is really what the Democrat Party is. It's one giant birthday party that none of us are invited to, but we're all expected to come help clean up. Sorry we couldn't invite you to the party. You didn't get to ride the pony. But thanks for supplying the booze, supplying the pony, paying for everything, and then coming to clean up all of our mess. We appreciate it. Now scoop up the donkey poop on the grass. That is the Democrat Party. And so on MSNBC, they're talking about how inflation's out of control. And I just want to pinpoint something that's funny about this to me. This is cut 34.
The prices are still out of control, and that hits a lot of people really week to week. You could black out the news. You could stop paying attention to whatever. You can't ignore that everything costs more than it did last year. Here's the headline. Inflation stubbornly high. Wages not keeping pace with these fast rising prices, which they note is also an uncomfortable truth for a president who promised to make real wage gains a centerpiece of his economic program.
I love this line where he says, you can't ignore everything costs more. Wanna bet? I've got an old man with a pair of sunglasses on, with his face nose deep in a bowl of ice cream, who's jamming out to James Taylor right now, who would beg to differ.
Think about what you'd think about.
I got a guy and a lady named Nancy Pelosi who are giving each other high fives and bobbing their heads like they're at a nursing home, and they're fine ignoring all of this. So to the people at MSNBC, challenge. I'm throwing a challenge flag on that. I think they can very much ignore what's going on. You don't think they can ignore it? They're having a party. They're having a party.
Your extraordinary leadership has made this glorious day possible. That's an applause line.
You hear her laugh at the end? She makes Jeb Bush look cool.
Please
with
clap.
That. Please clap. And I want to play one more from Nancy Pelosi, because at this point, I think she's trolling me. At this point, I really think that she's getting together with her speech writers. And she's saying, no, the breakfast taco thing's out of control. We're not going to do that. But let's troll Grace. Let's throw in a for the children. This is cut one.
As president who put forth an agenda of fairness, justice, inclusion, and diversity, always for the children.
For the children. She's
hey, children.
She's mocking us at this point, right? She has to be. Also, let's just
go. Wu-Tang was for the children, and you, Nancy Pelosi, are no Wu-Tang.
Well, let's be honest with ourselves. This is a $739 billion climate change bill that's going to fund electric vehicle chargers and solar panels and windmills. Do we think the children who are now 2 years behind on school, living in homes or sometimes their parents can't afford food, do you think that they're going to look at this bill and go, oh, President Joe Biden is putting up more windmills? This has got to be for me, right?
Well, the kid's got to get something for paying into Social Security.
I can't,
as he said yesterday.
I can't go down the Social Security road. I'm not strong enough for it. My little heart can't take no more. When we come back, we're going to play Caroline Leavitt's victory speech. She is the winner in the GOP congressional primary last night, the first congressional district. And she's very, very young. She's very determined. And she'll be going up against Chris Pappas. And it's a really interesting race to watch, and I want to get your take on it. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show. And I've got exciting news for you. You might not have been invited to the party of the year, but you can still go somewhere really special. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer. But you know what? Fall and winter are super special too, especially at the Nauset Beach Inn. There is something truly magical and peaceful about staying oceanside during the off season. So book your Nauset Beach Inn getaway today. They have special winter rates from November through March 31st. They start at $119.99 on weekdays and $149.99 a night on weekends. Overlooking Nauset Beach, the Nauset Beach Inn is the only lodging available inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. Every room commands a superb view of the great outer beach and the ever-changing sea. Nauset Beach is pet-friendly, and each room is spacious with two queen-size beds. Jared, I know you love the Nauset Beach Inn.
Yeah, I was there last December, and the Cape in the winter is great. I actually, the day that I got there was the day that they were putting in the Christmas trees. So that was a very cool little escape. If you go down there around the holidays, they have Christmas trees out there and it's lit up. It's very festive. The fire pits outside they're really warm, as so you can sit around the fire pit even when it's cold. You can look at the stars, you can watch the moonrise, you can watch the sunrise in the morning. Did that too. It was one of the most tranquil places I've ever been, and literally maybe a 45-second walk to the beach.
Yeah, and off-season Cape Cod is my favorite. I mean, I got married in the off-season down the Cape, and I just think it's a beautiful time to be there. It's a little bit more peaceful, less chaotic, but just as beautiful. Reservations fill up quickly, so book early at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. We'll be right back with a little bit of Caroline Leavitt. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Last night, Caroline Leavitt won the Republican primary in New Hampshire's first congressional district. which has long been a highly contested swing House district. This is from Fox News. Leavitt will now face off in November's midterm elections with two-term Democratic Representative Chris Pappas, whom Republicans view as vulnerable amid a political climate that for the past year has favored the GOP. She will become the youngest, the 25-year-old Leavitt will become the youngest woman ever elected to Congress in November. Leavitt topped Matt Maurer, a former New Hampshire GOP executive director who worked on former President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. So it's interesting who they both had on their side, because you had Leavitt, who was endorsed by Elise Stefanik, endorsed by Ted Cruz. And then you had Maurer, who was endorsed by Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and other Republicans. But Leavitt came out on top. And I think the issues that she really focused on were, number one, the fact that she tried to paint Matt Maurer as basically a swamp creature. And I think his number one guy, the number one person who supported him, was Kevin McCarthy. And I do think a lot of Trump voters, a lot of Republicans, get swamp vibes from Kevin McCarthy. The other thing that she focused on was government spending. She talked about 87,000 new IRS agents. She talked to Republicans about how their voices were going to be heard. She was going to end the indoctrination of children and the New Hampshire Department of Education. And she was going to drain the swamp and end socialism. And she made history in New Hampshire. And I want to play some of these cuts because this is really exciting. I mean, if this were a Democrat, it'd be all over national news. Instead, I've just noticed she's getting some play on Fox, but she's definitely going to get some play on the Grace Curley Show, because Grace Curley is the type of woman who supports other women. So this is Caroline Leavitt. Let's play cut 35. This is from her victory speech last night.
More than 1 year ago, I got into this race with no name recognition, no money, but a passion and a drive to fight for my home state of New Hampshire against the socialist Democrats who are destroying our country. The media, the Washington establishment, and the Democrats certainly counted us out. They said I was too young, we could never raise the money to compete, and that we could never beat a former Republican nominee. Over the last year, we were outspent, but we were not outworked.
Yeah, she was everywhere. And you know what else I think? I think a lot of Republican voters, when they're given the option of a Republican they've seen before, who's lost before, or they've seen, you know, around a few times and just doesn't really have that extra oomph, is a little bit cautious about what they say, a little bit cautious about how aggressive they are, how much on the offense they are. I think Republicans are, they're hungry for someone who's going to fight. And they're not thinking, well, what's my best chance? No, they want someone who's going to say what they're really thinking. And that was Caroline. And let's have cut 36.
And tonight, Team Caroline, we are sending a strong and clear message to the Washington, D.C. establishment and our Democrat opponents that our votes cannot be bought.
Yeah, and New Hampshire is a great place where you can do that, where you can vote for someone like a Caroline, because there is a chance that she could win. New Hampshire's strange, though. I always think this. When I ever go to the Follinsby Inn and stuff, you walk around, it's amazing around election time how you can get such different signs depending on which part of New Hampshire you're in. You could be in a part of New Hampshire and see all Trump. And I remember going into parts of New Hampshire and seeing all Biden. It's really hard to get a read on until you get close. Let's have cut 37.
And how do Chris Pappas and the Democrats promise to fix their manufactured economic crisis? By spending more of our money, raising our taxes, and hiring 87,000 IRS agents to intrude on our small businesses. To that we say, hell no.
Yeah, I'm happy for her. I think she did work her butt off. And I remember seeing her last year at Toyota of Portsmouth. I'm hoping or maybe it wasn't last year, maybe it was this year. It was a few months ago. I don't know. The summer's been so busy. But I'm hoping we'll see her again on Friday more at Toyota of Portsmouth, which will be there from 12 to 6 this Friday for a remote, so you can swing on by. Caroline Leavitt will, if she wins, be the youngest woman ever brought into Congress. And I had said to Jared, I said, oh, so she's going to take over for Joe Biden because he was the youngest person ever. And Jared said, no, he was the youngest person ever brought into the Senate. He was the poorest person ever elected into Congress. It's hard to keep track of all of Joe's lame accolades. We will be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, boy.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Caroline Leavitt had a great night last night, and she won the first congressional district race in New Hampshire. And there's also good news for Lee Zeldin, which I want to get to in just a little bit here. Lee Zeldin just got a boost in his fundraising, and that's great news for anyone who's hoping that he can beat Kathy Hochul, who's the current governor of New York and who's doing a terrible job. You don't have to take my word for it. Just go on the New York Post. Check out any of the headlines. Go to New York. Go to New York and take it in for yourself. See it with your own eyes. Mike, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace. I just want to let you know, I'm up here in New Hampshire. Me, my wife, and my 20-year-old son, who is also goes to St. Anselm's College, just like Caroline's. That's her alma mater. We all voted for Caroline last night, just basically for what she's running on. But if I were to give her any advice, I mean, obviously she's doing something right because she won last night, but she's got to make this all about, you know, they say with real estate, it's all about location, location, location. She's got to make this over the next 2 months all about inflation, 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 and how the people of, you know, the people of the country, but more specifically the people in New Hampshire, are just getting crushed by inflation, specifically when it comes to energy prices and oil prices this winter and what it's going to mean. And I think she just needs to stick to that message, inflation.
Yeah, I have two things to say, Mike. But first, I have a question for you. And if you don't have to tell me, I'm just curious, who else did you vote for in the primary yesterday?
So I voted for Don Bolduc. I did not vote for Chris Sununu. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a Chris Sununu fan. I didn't vote for him last time and I didn't vote for him this time. I thought how he handled the whole COVID thing. He was basically just do whatever Charlie Baker did. It was like monkey see, monkey do. Whatever Charlie Baker did, he did a couple weeks later. So I'm not a big Sununu fan. I think he's part of the swamp. I do have to laugh, though, yesterday, because me and my wife, after we got back from voting, we're watching local news. And Matt Maurer's had an add-on calling Caroline Leavitt a swamp creature, a D.C. swamp creature. My wife looked at me. She goes, isn't she only 25 years old? So it's just a joke by just saying that she's a swamp creature.
Yeah, but you had a good night, Mike, all in all. You must have been happy when you were watching these results pour in.
I was really happy. I think Caroline has a great future ahead of her, and you know, we'll see what happens from here.
Absolutely, and I hope you're just as happy come the midterms, and I think you might be. I still believe there's a red wave coming. The second part of that I wanted to address, which is what Mike just said, he said if he could give Caroline a piece of advice, it would be talk about inflation, inflation, inflation. And that brings us to our poll question. There's a reason I chose this as a poll question, because it's something that's kind of been kicking around in my mind. I can't help but feel a little underwhelmed with how the GOP is campaigning right now. And there's no shortage of content out there. There's no shortage of red meat that you could be gathering for voters. And beyond that, forget about politics and all that. There's a real important message here for people who are on the fence, which is you can vote and we can change this direction. We do not have to keep going down this rabbit hole. We do not have to keep making things worse. And not only do I think they have to hit inflation, 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 but another topic that I think they're really missing the boat on is crime. Crime stats everywhere, but especially in Democrat-run blue cities, is through the roof. People are scared. Women are scared. Women are scared to walk to work. Women are scared to go out at night. And a lot of people in minority communities are scared. And they're not talking about it enough. They're not making ads and putting them all over the place like they should be. And how do I know that? Because I don't see them. And if I thought they were really going full out with all their spending and making all these great ads, I would probably see one or two. I'm not saying I'm glued to the television, but I watch a lot of it. Watch probably more of it than I should. So where are these ads? Where's all this money? They raise all this money. They brag about that. Where's it all going to? Why don't I see Kevin McCarthy out there every single day pounding the table? Why don't I see Mitch McConnell pounding the table? I don't care if it's theater. At this point, we're in the theater zone. At this point, when you're this close to a midterm, guess what? Now is the time to do the grandstanding. Instead, what I notice about these Republicans is that they do the grandstanding like the 5 days after an election, when it's too late. That's when they start wringing their hands and saying, oh, Americans will come to regret this. How about now? How about be a little proactive? How about do something now? I know they're not your candidates. I know some of them are MAGA Republicans. I know Mitch McConnell looks his nose down at people who aren't, you know, principled conservatives like
him. Am I not turtly enough for the turtle club?
But tough luck, bro. This is what we got. So go with it. Let's hear a little bit of noise for these people. It's just kind of eerily quiet. And I think they're kind of resting on their laurels saying, well, it sucks so bad that there's no way we're not going to win. That's not true. There's a lot of people out there who don't pay attention, who buy into the Democrat propaganda. And say what you want about Democrats, but damn, do they make sure that they control the narrative? Do they make sure their message gets out there? So you can't rest on the fact that things suck really bad. That is not enough. And that brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from $119.99 during the week and just $149.99 a night on weekends. That would be November through March. Book online at nausetbeachinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the GOP is doing enough for 2022? Grace clearly does not.
Yeah. Did I make my answer obvious? Yeah, no, I do not think they're doing
as
enough.
As KJP would say, you were very clear on your point. 97% of the audience agrees with you. No, the GOP is not doing enough.
But you know, this also brings me back to when you look at the difference between like a Mitch McConnell and a Donald Trump. And I understand that, boy, were there some things Donald Trump could have done differently. Could he have not hired Christopher Wray? Could he have taken advice from other people? 100%. But one thing you can't fault Trump on is that man. And it's partially because he's from TV. It's partially because he's got a big ego. But when he has a message, he will get it out there. He doesn't care if he hates the reporter who's delivering it. He doesn't. In fact, this is how brilliant Trump was. That sometimes there would be a, I'll give an example. I remember Trump one time tweeted out something really nasty about Stormy Daniels. It was after he won the lawsuit against her. And it was, I don't go for that. I don't like going after people's looks. It's a little, I find it to be beneath people. But I remember seeing it and I was like, why would he do that? Like, he just won this big lawsuit. Why not just take the victory and sail into the sunset? You just had a big win. She's going to have to pay his legal bills. And a friend of mine said, because no one was going to report on that. But now that he's put out this mean tweet where he's bashing her, they all have to report on why he's putting out the mean tweet. And he's putting out the mean tweet because he won and they don't want to talk about it. But now they have to. That kind of messaging, that understanding of how the media works is something that they hate Trump for. But he is so much better than Kevin McCarthy or Mitch McConnell or Steve Scalise or any of these guys, because he would get out there and think about it like this. How many times did you hear Trump say the lowest black unemployment rate, the lowest unemployment rate for black people, an economy like you've never seen before. You know, we got this done. We got that done. He would go through these talking points. And sometimes you go, oh, God, here he goes again. Like, he's, you know, but he knew. He was like, no one else is going to do it. Neil Cavuto is not going to do it. People on Fox aren't even going to do it. No one on CNN is going to do it. They'd rather that'd be blasphemy. They'd get thrown in jail. CNN jail. No one on MSNBC is going to do it. No one at the Washington Post is going to do it. So guess who had to do it? Trump had to do it. Every time, any question you gave him, he could turn it around into giving you his best five talking points about what he's done. Because he thought, you know what? If they're going to play this cut, if they're going to ask a vicious question and play this cut, who's ever watching is going to hear about all of my accomplishments. That's the only time they're going to hear about it. And we don't get that energy from these other Republicans. That's why Caroline's so good. Because she gets out there, and if you give her a minute and 30 seconds, she is using that minute and 30 seconds to get every single thing out there. It's a messaging problem. Jeff, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan of the show. Just kind of to touch on what you were just talking about, I wanted your thoughts on Lindsey Graham coming out yesterday trying to present a federal abortion ban or, you know, legislature to lower the time frame on that, and why he would do that close to the election. It seems like every time we have a theoretic red wave coming, these rhinos get up there and grandstand about something that doesn't need to be grandstanded about at the moment to try to, it seems like, to thwart whatever efforts are being made.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wanted your take on that.
Jeff, you know, I saw this and I didn't talk about it because I had the same exact reaction you did. And when it comes to the abortion conversation, sometimes I second guess myself, partially because I'm not like 1,000% sure where I stand, but also because I know that for some people, this is their number one thing they vote for. So I thought maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. But I had that same reaction where I thought, why would you do this right now? When what we're seeing from the polls is that this, if anything is going to quell this red wave, if anything's going to make this red wave go away, it's Roe versus Wade. They're actually tweeting out things that say, Roe, your vote, something. I didn't memorize the poem, but they're capitalizing off of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. They think this is what is going to help them in November. So I saw that thing from Lindsey Graham, and I was like, was he trying to get us to lose? I thought the same thing. And also, I should say that over the last few months, whenever I see a Lindsey Graham headline, whether he's talking about assassinating Vladimir Putin, or he's talking about sending more money to Ukraine, or he's talking about abortion, whenever I see a Lindsey Graham comment or blurb, I roll my eyes and I do kind of move on from it. But I did have the same thought as Jeff. Maybe me and Jeff are both missing something, but my thought was, why do that right now? Like, I think if you're a Republican, the top three things you should be talking about are inflation, crime, and illegal immigration. I think you talk about those three things up until November, you've got a real good shot at winning because everybody cares about those things.
I mentioned it earlier. I'm telling you, Lindsey Graham is joining with Mitch McConnell. They are trying to throw this Senate race because they are the type of people that are better served to be negotiating in the minority.
Yeah. And
because they're not really leaders. They're swampy deal makers.
Yeah. And, you know, Jared, when I was at Providence, it was like 2013, 2014, I wasn't as into politics, but I still remember thinking about Republicans. Even back then, I remember thinking a lot of these guys and ladies and birthing people much prefer to be losers than to be winners. You know those people? They'd rather be able to say, well, that side's terrible, but we can't do anything about it because we're not in power. And then they were in power under Donald Trump. And guess what? Mitt Romney, all these same characters found reasons not to help Trump, found reasons not to do the things that they'd been claiming to us they wanted to do for decades. And then they got the opportunity, they got a little gun shy. So I think a lot of them, like Jared just said, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, I think they prefer to be in the loser seat because that's when the swamp is doing what it's supposed to do. Republicans can grandstand about how they want this and that. Democrats can say, no, we're going to do this instead. And everybody just goes, oh, everyone shrugs and says, oh, I guess there's nothing we can do about it. And the problem with people like Caroline Leavitt, Donald Trump, is that they come in and they say, this is what I want to do. And when they get in, they actually try to do it, which for the real dinosaur swamp creatures, that's not how things are done. It's like, no, we say we want to do these things, but we don't actually try to accomplish them. That's crazy talk. One last thing before we go to break here. Lee Zeldin is running against Kathy Hochul. And this feels like a real long shot. You know, he's a Republican running for governor in New York. And New York is as blue can be. But he's making waves. There was a Trafalgar poll a week ago that said he's like 4 points behind her, which is bananas in New York. And now he just got a $1 million boost as a pro-Zeldin PAC got a $1 million boost as GOP counterattack begins amid Hochul ad blitz. I am really hoping for people like Joe Borelli and Libby Emmons and friends of the show that live in New York, I really hope Lee Zeldin wins. I think New Yorkers, if there was ever a time where New Yorkers would wake up and smell the garbage and human feces on the sidewalk, it would be right now. They have to wake up. They have to see. Like, what do you have to lose? That's Donald Trump's old line. What do you have to lose? Just try it. Things can't get worse. They're pushing people into the subways. There's trash everywhere. Give somebody else a shot.
Could you imagine the seismic shift if New York has a Republican governor after New Jersey almost had one? New York and New Jersey. Could you imagine that?
Oh, I would be so excited. I'd be so excited for the people of New York. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed. That's right. Armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. We paid attention to the $400K, and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've spent. We've talked about how they're interested in going through people's Venmo because of all those billionaire babysitters that are out there trying to get rich and not paying their fair share. So you've traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, but now you have to protect it. You need this now. Get Monetary Gold's new guide. It's called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There is no time to delay. The number is 888-617-7994. Again, that's 888-617-7994 to get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Time is of the essence. We will be right back with the captain. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Higher than here, because we had such a small population, and we had about 14% of our entire population was auto workers. We had the largest Chrysler plant outside of Detroit, and we had the largest GM plant, and we had an awful lot of carriers as well. So anyway...
Oh boy. That was Joe Biden at the Detroit Auto Show today. He's bragging about
it. By the way, it turns out he's a car guy. I don't know if you knew that, but
he's an everything man. Know. He's a Renaissance man. He's a car guy. He's a train guy. He's a plane guy. And he's announcing $900 million electric vehicle infrastructure overhaul at the Detroit Auto Show.
God, he got into one of the cars. He did the car prop shot again.
Did he threaten to run over any journalists this time, or did he leave that out of his routine?
He offered somebody a ride to Washington, though. Presumably a female.
I would not take that ride. Just a warning to that person. And one other thing I wanted to point out here is he is getting a lot of heat for using his jet to go and cast his vote when he could have, I guess based off his schedule, he could have done it last week, but he had to go in person. And some people think that that's a little bit obnoxious when it comes to wasting, you know, carbon or fossil, whatever they want to call it. He's a little bit John Kerry-esque. Joining me now is Howie has a huge show planned today. Can you give us a little teaser about what's to come?
First of all, I want to just say how many polar bears died because he had to take that
trip. That's what I'm wondering.
Delaware.
Like a 4-hour trip. He probably did more damage than you've done in your whole life driving a vehicle. He did that in one afternoon.
I know. It's tragic.
It's shameful.
And don't forget the penguins either down at the South Pole. They suffer too when this happens. But anyway, we've got Michael Lindell from MyPillow coming on at 3:30. We're going to discuss. He told he was riding around coming back from a hunting trip with this guy, and all of a sudden they were surrounded by cars at the drive-through window. And he said, "These are either criminals or the FBI." Although sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, and not just in Boston either. And then we will have Caroline Leavitt on, the winner in the New Hampshire 1st Congressional District primary. We'll have her on at 4:30.
You know, Howie, after they raided Mar-a-Lago and they started floating, thanks to leaks from Merrick Garland, they started floating the idea of, oh, well, Trump had nuclear codes. That's why they had to raid Mar-a-Lago. I remember seeing this really funny tweet that said, "You guys think that if Trump has nuclear codes at Mar-a-Lago that he hasn't already given them to the MyPillow guy?" And after finding
out... You know
what?
That's a question. I'm going to ask Mike Lindell that.
And my dad texted me that tweet today because he thought it was so funny at the time. And he said, "Wow, this tweet is actually proving that it could be true, maybe." But it is crazy that they did this to him. Do you think this is all going to backfire on the Democrats?
I certainly hope so. You know, I mean, look what happened to Bed Bath and Beyond, or whatever they call it.
Or as you like to call it, Bed Bath and Breakfast.
Yes, and beyond. But and beyond. They threw MyPillow out of there because they're so woke, and now they're so broke. And their CFO just jumped out of a window of a skyscraper in Manhattan.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Mike Lindell will be able to shed a little bit more light on what happened. But he seems to be in good spirits based off his Instagram Live. He's not letting them get him down.
No, when you know you're in the right, I think it makes it easier.
Yeah, it makes all the difference.
To withstand the slings and arrows.
All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow.